Amen. Isn't it amazing what God can do just in a matter of moments, right? He can do so much more than any kind of doctor or psychologist or anything can do. It takes a good, genuine moment at an altar with God. Amen. And he can transform and heal, reconcile. Amen. Because we serve a living God. Amen. There's no doubt about it. Can't deny in his presence. Amen. And we are a blessed people. Amen. I can direct your attention today, for a short while, for Luke, the 18th chapter. Luke 18, we start reading in verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest me thou good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things have I kept up from my youth." And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Amen. I want to preach to you today for a little bit on this title, No Way Back. No Way Back. Why don't you shake a few hands, greet them, amen, as you're seated today. Amen. I'd like to welcome all of our guests here today. This is a Holy Ghost-filled apostolic church, right? You never know what the service is going to be like, right? We have a schedule, but God is ultimately in charge, and we want him to move and follow him. Amen? Amen. So, talking about no way back today. New discoveries require people stepping out from the familiar and to venture into an unknown place, an unknown territory, whether it's geographically or in the mind, mathematics or engineering or whatever the case may be. You cannot find a new discovery unless you leave from where you are and to go into somewhere new. Just as Columbus, he left the shores of Spain to uncover lands that were beyond the horizon, whether breakthroughs, whether they are in exploration or science or personal growth, they demand a willingness for people to leave their comfort zones and be willing to face the uncertainty. That is a hard thing to do. Because you and I like to be comfortable. And when I get comfortable, I don't want to leave, right? I don't want to get off the couch or get out of bed or whatever the case is. But that's physically. But we can get in that way spiritually and mentally and all kinds of ways where we can just get comfortable where we're at. And we're not seeing any new discoveries. Why? Because we're still where we're at. And so if we want to see something new, we're going to have to step forward into the uncertainty. Staying rooted in the same place, physically, mentally, is going to limit our perspective and keeps any new possibilities far from our reach, out of our grasp, because we haven't left. It only happens by embracing the risk of leaving where you are, so that you can uncover treasures and truths and revelations and heights and depths, no matter what it is, that are beyond our reach, out of our sight, out of our perspective. And I believe that God has so many things beyond our horizon. We keep looking at the horizon, looking for something. We're going to have to start walking towards the horizon, saying, we got to leave behind where we're at. And there's going to be no way back because we're moving forward. Whatever God has over there, that's what I want to pursue after. That's what I want to chase after, is what is beyond the horizon. And we can't ever get there staying where we're at. Speaking of Christopher Columbus, his first voyage was to the New World in 1492. As we maybe have learned the song as a child, sailed the ocean blue in 1492. That's all I know. Maybe that's the whole song. I must have been not paying attention. But so here is what happened. 36 days it took him to get from Spain to the New World. He supposedly left Spain on August 3rd, and he went to the Canary Islands 3 days later. He made a brief stop there, repaired, resupplied, and then he began to depart out, head west towards the New World. He arrived in the New World supposedly on October 12th, 1492. We celebrate this discovery from Columbus. And it was more than just a trip, because Columbus had never done anything like this before. He was obviously an explorer, but back in those days, you didn't venture very far from the land. I mean, you can go out and maybe a couple days, obviously following the traffic patterns or whatever it was, but you didn't really take the risk of leaving the land behind to travel to some place you've never been. And so for 33 days, he started headed east, going where he had never been before, venturing out, stepping into the uncertainty and unknown waters of the Atlantic. He's never really sailed across the Atlantic before, up and down Africa and the peninsulas and the known land back then, but to take that leap of faith, to go across this vast body of ocean, to believe that there is something over there. It was an unprecedented challenge because it required navigating seas and stretches of land, of water that he'd never been before. How do you go through that part of the water when you've never been? Estimating the distances based on currents and winds and picking up which drafts and all these things. It's easy to do it if you've done it before, but if you've never been there before, you're not really certain about things. And then obviously managing the crew. Hey guys, we're getting ready to go somewhere that we've never been before. I hope we make it, right? I hope the earth is not flat like we believe and we don't fall off. This is the side we're going on, right? They've sailed before with each other days at a time, but this was such a big step. And he gets credit for discovering the New World, and rightfully so. But at some point in this journey, they crossed some proverbial line that they said, it's too far to go back now. We're not going back where we came from. But this is the line, this is the area, this is the place, the demarcation where we're saying it's all or nothing. It's moving forward or nothing. No going back the way we came. But through everything that he was up against, all of the unknowns, all of the uncertainties, all of the reasons not to, Columbus said, I'm going to go. We are going to go forward anyways. We are going to look for an unknown world. And look what he discovered. He discovered this place that we give him credit for. A land, a new land of blessing. A new land, a new place of provision. But that only required him to leave behind everything and to step out into the unknown. I don't like stepping out into the unknown. I don't think anybody really does. It's hard enough being by ourselves. But we've got to add a little bit of faith into it, because when God starts asking us to do something, we have to say, we don't know what's going on, but God is directing our steps. God knows where He's leading us. God knows what's in that next step. I don't know. I can't see what's next, but God can. And so we as apostolic believers, Holy Ghost-filled people, should put away those fears of stepping out in faith, because this is not our first time here. This is not our first time going to a church like this. And if it is, welcome. We welcome you into the crazy family. But for those that have been here for a long time, amen, I'm kind of tired of just getting comfortable and staying comfortable. I'm saying, God, you've been pushing us and edging us to step out further. I say today is the day we say no going back, right? We're not going to go back to that old man. I'm not going to go back to that old way that I used to be, that old struggles, those addictions that have always come back around to get me. Not today, devil. We're not going back. We are going to move forward in the name of Jesus. We're going to go forward together. New horizons, new depths in the Lord. We're going to see new heights. We're going to push off from the shore and stop walking in the ankle-deep waters or the knee-deep waters. But no, we got to go out to the deeper waters of the Holy Ghost and say, I cannot swim out here. I can't touch the bottom anymore. And let the current of the Holy Ghost lead us to where God is trying to take all of us. And so no going back. No way back today. You say that at your seat today. No way back. But before Christopher Columbus, there was an explorer who found himself in a similar place. At a launching point, looking into a place far beyond his eye can see, and believing that there is something out there waiting for him to discover. Genesis 12, we see this story where God says unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so just like Christopher Columbus, there were also so many dangers for Abram to obey what God had asked him to do. It wasn't like today where we just pick up and rent a U-Haul and go down I-75 to another exit and park off there, and now you're at a new location. There were so many solid reasons to stay there where he was, because obviously it wasn't as civilized world as it was. You're out there walking in the open terrain, the desert, all of those dangers, leaving unknown locations. So many good, solid reasons to stay where Abraham was, because there were so many vulnerabilities ahead, so many uncertainties. But in the face of all of that, Abram heard from God, and he says, I need to do something about that. Abram said to Sarah one day, he said to Sarah, today is the day that we are packing our bags. Today is the day that it's time to go where God has called us. And Sarah may have said, well, where is that, Abram? And Abram said, I don't know where that is. I don't know the location. I don't know the way. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to be like. But one thing that I do know is that we are not going to stay here any longer. That we are here today. Today, this is not the place where God is calling us. He's calling us somewhere else to go. He's calling us to go beyond the horizon. And we have to leave here in order to get there if we ever going to see what God has in store. And so once we're here, once we leave here, we are not coming back. We're not coming back, Sarah. We're getting out the door, and this is it. Come hell or high water, we got to step out in faith and say, no, we're not going back. We're going to have to make it on our faith and trust in God and to say goodbye to the familiar. Say goodbye to the way that we've used to do things, because God is going before us to prepare a way. And I want to say today, no way back. I want to make sure there's no way back today, that we can go back to the way things used to be. See, the whole point of leaving your current place is to be led to a new place, a new destination, a new discovery. We see when God had delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, the Bible says that there was another way that God could have led his people. Exodus 13, 17, it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near and quicker and shorter, God said, lest peradventure maybe the people would repent when they see war and they would return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. You see, there's always going to be a way that's going to lead you back to that old self. But God wants to take you a new way, so that you don't have to worry about retreating and going back. When the children of Israel would see war or they would get scared, they'd say, I know the way back to Egypt, and I'm just going to turn around and go back, because there is a way to go back. But God says, I'm not going to do that for them. I'm going to take them through the Red Sea, and I'm going to make sure there's a way that they cannot get back on their own. And so while they were standing there, God parted the Red Sea. And they passed through on the dry ground, and the sea collapsed behind them, wiping out the armies of Pharaoh. And as they stood on the seashore on the other side, they celebrated. Miriam got out the tambourines in Exodus 15, and they started singing and worshiping God for what God had done. And what were they saying? Hey, there's no way back to Egypt. I'm thankful there's no way back of Egypt, because God has made a way that we can pass through the waters. So there was only one direction, and that was to go forward. You see, once they passed through the waters, there was no going back. Paul references this in 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You see, that was symbolic of baptism, that the whole nation was baptized in that water as they passed through. And once you are baptized in water, that is one of the purposes of baptism, is to stand there and say, there's no way back to Egypt. I've passed through the waters of baptism, and there's no going back. You cannot pursue me any longer. Pharaoh, you cannot pursue me and follow me any longer where God has taken me, because I passed through the waters of baptism. And so the Pharaoh of this world is powerless against you once you go through the waters of baptism. That's why they don't want you to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Might as well bury me in that water calling on Jesus' name. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And so there is no higher name, no greater name. And so we're going to get baptized. If we're going to go through the water, we might as well say in Jesus' name, to make sure that Pharaoh cannot follow me, that my sins cannot follow me. My blood, the blood of Jesus, washes away all of our sins. And there is no going back to the world once you get baptized in Jesus' name. And if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, let me take a second here to invite you to do that, because nobody in the Bible was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. All examples of Scripture say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19. Everybody was baptized in Jesus' name, because that is the greatest name, right? That is the name we call upon. If you haven't done that, we've got some hot spa water back here, and you can get baptized today and feel so good, not just physically, but I'm talking spiritually, to get your soul cleansed, to get your spirit reborn, to go through a way where Pharaoh cannot get to you, where when the devil comes up to remind you of your past and say, sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. That's buried under the water. That's buried in the baptism of Jesus' name. That's buried under the blood of Jesus. It has no access to me any longer. That road has been cut off through the power of baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. And so there's no going back. Problem is, sometimes we start looking back. We start looking back and we start fishing back over on trying to catch some Egyptian fish, whatever that may be. Sometimes I feel, speaking as pastor, I wish I could baptize some people again. And I would hold them down a little bit longer. I'm telling you what, a good fresh baptism to get that attitude out of you, that bad spirit out of you. We shouldn't be having those things. And the truth is, we all need a fresh baptism again. We all need a pray through again. And then after we're done praying through, we got to pray through again. Sometimes there's more to stake than what we normally go through, our little schedule of things. But God has so much more in store that we have to make up our mind that say, God, I'm not going back. And then the conviction of the presence of God, he convicts us. I feel like there are... when we get together here, people are worshiping God and just getting lost in the Holy Ghost, and then other people are just kind of feeling something. That's okay, because we all feel that. We just got to respond to that, right? You feel the nudging of the Holy Ghost. You can't get in the presence of a holy God and not feel something. Angels bow down before him, and who are we not to submit to him? And so I'm here to tell you today that we need to make up our mind that today I'm going to change forever. Today I'm not going back. I'm burning everything, covering everything up. I'm not going back home to that addiction any longer. Why? Because God's going to set me free today. I'm going to put it on the altar today, and God's going to answer by fire in my life and burn those things out of me. Come on, don't we serve a living God? He can do that today. He can meet your need today. It doesn't matter what it is you're dealing with. If you bring it to the altar and surrender to God, God can deliver you of that today. There's no going back. See, when Jesus asked people to follow him, he expected their response to be, okay, yes, and there's no way back. I'm not going back. Matthew 4 talks about when Jesus called his disciples walking by the Sea of Galilee, say two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Immediately they just dropped their nets and says, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. There's no going back. There's no way back now. Where are we going? I don't know. What it's going to be like, I don't know. But I know that Jesus just called me. Jesus just asked me to follow him. And so whatever it is, God knows, and it's going to be good for me that I do that. And he goes on to answer the same for his James and John. They also immediately left the ship and their father and followed after him. And so you can begin to wonder the questions. Well, where are we going? What are we doing? We've just left our livelihood and dropped our fish nets and our businesses, all of these things, to follow him. And where are we going? I don't know. But if we stay here, we'll never find out. How many opportunities, and I'm just kind of speaking for myself, how many opportunities have I missed out on because I said, no, I'll just stay here. I'll just keep fishing here. This fishing seems to be good today. But what if just for one day, one service, or one time that we just say, you know what, God, I'm tired of here. I'm tired of my fixing my net. I'm tired of trying to repair these things over and over. And when God is just saying, hey, just come and follow me. Leave that behind. Don't bring that net with you. Let that thing go. And there's no way back and no going back. I wonder what we would see. And I know the answer is we'll see things that we wish we'd have stepped out earlier. I wish I'd have said, yes, Lord, and left all that behind a long time ago. Anyone else with me with that? So why would we be afraid to step out now? Whenever God is asking us to do something now, why would we think, well, no, I don't want to do it? I think God is calling all of us today to embark on a deeper walk with Him and to leave back the old ways. Luke, our text, Luke 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest me thou good? Thou knowest the Ten Commandments. And he said, I have done all of these things from my youth. When Jesus heard these things, he said, yet there's one more thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. That thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. This rich young ruler here wanted to know the way of eternal life. He had figured out all the other ways, the righteous ways and the good deeds and all of these things. Jesus, tell me the way to eternal life. Show me the path so that I can walk down that. And I've already done all those things so far, good deeds and things. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. Sell everything that you've attained, all of your wealth, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Well, where are we going to go, Lord? Does it really matter? Right? You are the one that asked, what is the way to eternal life? And so he found the way, he heard the way, but he went away distressed because he had many possessions, he was sorrowful. And that's really the only response we can have. Either you're going to follow Jesus and have eternal life and joy in the Holy Ghost and all these blessings, or you're going to walk away sorrowful and struggle and hurt and be oppressed and depressed. I don't know about you, but I want the way of eternal life. I want to follow after Jesus and say, God, I'm not going back to that thing. There's no way back. And so sadly, this rich young ruler could not let go of the road back home. He could not let it go, so therefore he left sorrowful, and it would assume that he missed out on whatever God had in store for him. But Jesus said in Luke 19 or 9, says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. Let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot be trying to follow the Lord and still looking back and holding on to the things of the world. That causes a lot of problem in our life. When we're trying to hold on to things that God is telling us to let go. Whether they be sin, God forbid that we're doing that. But that God can help you with that. But maybe a lot of times they're weights. They're things that we like to do that are not a sin, but they're a distraction. And we're just holding on to them. And they can become a distraction to us and prevent us from where we're trying to go. Why? Because we're still holding on to a way back. We're still holding on. And too many people in church are trying to do that. Trying to live their best life in the world and also live their best life in Jesus Christ. We got to decide one way. Well, there's only going to be one way, one master that we can have. It is we're going to follow the Lord and let go of the things. God, help me to let go of those things of the past so that I can follow after you and make up my decision today that there is no way back. Musicians, if you would come. There are so many ways and options nowadays to do things, and we obviously try to find the best way, the quickest route, change the settings in your navigations to do whatever, pick your different route, whatever you want. But we can get so caught up with our own things that we just kind of flood out what God is saying. Be so distracted to not hear that still small voice because we're looking for everything else and all these other directions or answers everywhere else. But God's wanting us to step out today and to begin a journey, begin a process with Him. Because where God is wanting to take us and take this church, right now there's baggage here in our life. And we can't take that with us. So we're going to have to go through a process. We're going to have to go through something to say, God, you need to tell me which luggage I need to leave behind. Because if we're going to choose luggage or we're going to choose the Lord. Because God, where God wants to take us, we can't have all this stuff with us. We got to leave some things out behind. And we got to say, we're just donating these off to the rummage sale because we're not picking those things back up. Because they weigh us down, they distract us, take us away. And so this is why we are getting ready to embark on a 40 days of consecration, because what lies on the other side of that, we are going to be a much better church if we go through the process the right way. Amen. And that's what we're encouraging everybody to take. Today is the day we're going to say there's no way back after January 26th. There's no way back to that old way that I used to be, that old person and those old things that I used to do. That's what God is wanting to get us our attention during this time so that we can begin to see what God has in store for us. There was a man named Hernan Cortez who famously sank his boats in July 1519. He arrived in Mexico, Veracruz, Mexico, and they were preparing to invade and conquer the Aztecs, a ferocious civilization. And so the story goes is that Cortez ordered all of his ships. I mean, he came from Spain. He ordered his ships to be sunk out in the bay. The purpose was to eliminate any possibility of retreat and to compel his men to fully commit to the conquest. Because, guys, there's no way back. That's the type of mindset we have to have if we're going to see revival like we've never seen before. We've got to burn our ships. We've got to burn the luggage. Get rid of the weights in our life. And that's what God is calling all of us to do today, is to begin to look inside ourselves and to look inside our life and our home and our habit. And what are these things that are luxuries that we love to do, but they really serve no purpose for the kingdom of God, that they don't help us advance in our walk with the Lord, that they're just kind of there to occupy our time. Those are the things that pull us and drag us away from what God really wants to do in us. And so I'm here to tell you today that today we need to say, let's burn the luggage. Let's burn the weight. Let's burn all of those things. There's no way back today. That's going to compel us to say, God, I'm going to go forward today. From here on out, we are going to be somebody who you're calling us to be. If you stand with me today. Try to get into the mindset of those men that were with Cortez to watch those ships. Your way home is gone. And that will produce some kind of desperation inside the men that either we're going to fight or we're going to die. And I think that's really where it comes down to. How desperate do we really want something from God? See, people talk about desperation, but they're not willing to burn the ship. They'll maybe leave, say, okay, God, I'll leave a few things off. But God is speaking to all of us. There are some ships in our life that once we pass through these next 40 days, that they shouldn't be there 40 days from now. See, it's either fight or die. Don't you think the enemy fights like that? Don't you think the devil walks around as a roaring lion trying to devour and kill people and devour them? His survival desperation mindset that I got to do this or else I'm not going to make it. But if the people of God would ever make up their and get that kind of mentality in their life that this is not just fun and games any longer. We are in the last days. We are ready for the last outpouring of the Holy Ghost this world has ever seen. And after that, time is going to change forever. How many people are gonna be left behind, miss out on what God has to do? And the amount of shame you're gonna feel. I wish I would have just gave that up. I wish I would have just burnt that ship. There was a man by the name of Elisha. When Elijah came to him, the Bible says in 1 Kings, it says, he found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said to him, go back, for what have I to do with thee? And he returned back from him. He took a yoke of oxen. He slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people. They did eat, and he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. This was Elisha's moment. Or when he killed those oxen that he was plowing with. He was doing his livelihood, his everyday life. But he got a call from God to go further, to go to a new destination. What did Elisha do? He says, I'm killing all these oxen. I'm breaking up the cart. I'm building a sacrifice, burning it all. Because I've made up my mind that there's no going back. That there's no way back for me from here. The man of God has called me and asked me to follow him. What better thing do I have to do with my life? No, I'm cutting off all ties, cutting off all of these. I'm burning it all, making it into an altar so that I can follow him. And now there's no reason for me to go back because everything has been gift sacrificed unto the Lord. This is what we need to do today. We need to get all of these things in our minds and our life. And we need to bring them to the altar today and say, God, today is the day that I'm laying these things down. I'm tired of struggling with this, and I'm tired of going through this. And you know what it is that you are struggling with or what it needs in your life. What I'm asking you today is you would be like Elisha to say, God, I'm going to follow the call. I'm going to answer the call, and I'm going to come and lay that upon the altar so that I can follow after you. Because there's no going back from here. But tomorrow starts our 40 days of prayer and fasting. And we are going to start assembling and gathering together like none other before this church is getting together. But we have to have the mindset that tomorrow starts the new day, the new me. That I'm not going back to the January 26th, Phil. But tomorrow begins a new process in me, that God, you'd create in me a clean heart, that you'd begin renewing a right spirit within me. And through all of these times of prayer and consecration and fasting, that is the purpose of this time, is to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and see, what are these things that are just weighing me down that I need to burn? What are my way backs? What is my ships? What is my comforts? What is my oxen and cattle? Those things that are doing in my life every day that are a lifeline back to my old self. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for what God has done in me and where he has brought me. I don't want to have any ties back to that old person. And I know we've been living for the Lord for a long time and doing our best, but still, there are things in our life that we can burn today. There are things in our life, oxen and cattle and ships, that need to burn so that we can begin to follow where God is going to lead us to. Amen. I believe that we are on the precipice of something so great. But if we consecrate ourselves and we begin to seek God, he's going to do something sooner than later. And I know we're preparing for the tent revival in a few weeks, but first God's going to do something inside of us, right? We have to be transformed, right? We got to be set on fire like I talked about on Thursday night. We have to do that first. And I believe if you bring an altar, if you bring those things in your mind, in your heart, in your life to the Lord, and you break them like Elisha, or you burn them like Cortez, because you say, there's no way back, God. I'm tired of that old way. Amen. If you believe that, why don't we close our eyes? Why don't we come and gather together? We're coming together, getting ready to embark on a 40-day journey together. Let's just spend some moments here seeking after the Lord. Say, God, I want that desire, God. Where, Lord, I say, there's no going back today. There's no more. I'm tired of the loneliness, the suffering, the pain, the hurt. Come on, bring those things. We're coming together as the church. God, help us order our steps. There's no going back. No going back from here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Deliver. We're standing on the brink of the Jordan River, getting ready to cross over. God's got stuff. We got to get rid of it. Come on, let's seek his face.
presence came and changed.
Oh, can we say, Lord, I've been changed. I won't go back.
I won't go back.
Amen, amen. No way back, Lord. We're not going back to the way we used to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have been talking about doing communion here as a consecration service, but with further thinking about it, contemplating and praying, feel like we're going to delay that because Paul talks about before you take communion, you examine yourself, right? You don't want to take it without examining yourself. We don't want it to rush something that is important. And what we're getting ready to do these 40 days, what are we getting ready to do? Examine ourselves, right? You're going to have a better view of yourself and your issues and problems and things after 40 days of prayer and fasting. That's going to be a better time to consecrate yourself before the Lord. So we're going to hold that off till later on. But we are beginning our 40 days of consecration tomorrow. We've sent out a link to fill up a form to help sign up for things. If you haven't got those links or if you don't get any text from us and you want to get connected, please see my mother. Where's my mother? Is she in here? Oh, right here. If you don't get text from us and you need to get text, come see her. I don't know. Okay, you can also do that. But if you want to deal with a person real quick, you can talk to her because information is vital, right? You don't be a part of the body and not hear what's going on, right? So if you don't get those. And so you can sign up online. We've been signing up for prayer teams for Saturdays, praying downtown at the gates. We will send out a final list this week that you can see everywhere everybody signed up. If you want to get together with somebody else, similar time, whatever, that link will go out as well. So if you haven't signed up, please do that. Real brief covering the fasting part as we've talked about. The fasting guide talks about two short fasts and one long fast a week. There's also optional fasting plans that you can choose from. And so on the onset, it may sound like asking you to fast 4 days a week, which 4 whole days a week, which is a lot. I mean, that's a big ask. And I was originally thinking maybe 2 days of skipping a meal and then maybe 2 or more days of full fasting. But I realized that with the church of all these demographics and sizes of people, not sizes, but demographics, I better hurry up. All the demographics, different age, we're all different places. And you may not be able to do everything, but the purpose and point of this is you need to do something that is a stretch for you, a sacrifice for you, right? Your fasting needs to be intentional and sacrificial and should not be an afterthought. You shouldn't get by to Friday and like, oh, I didn't fast this week. The boat's already left. You're not even thinking, right? Because we should be planning for this, to seek after God. It should be intentional and not an afterthought. Oops, I didn't do anything this week. That's missing the boat. And so if you have not already, sit down with your guide and begin to be prayerfully think about what you're going to do, fasting and your schedule. Whether you decide to do meals or days or a fasting plan like the Daniel's fast the whole time, that's obviously a sacrifice. And I'd rather skip meals for a week than eat a month of Daniel's food. But But somebody else may do that, you know. You decide that, whatever you can do, okay? Obviously, social media is a huge weight in our society, a distraction, whether it be entertainment, television, movies, social media, video games, all of these things that you engage in. You also need to fast those things as well. And we're going to be doing a lot of promoting on online social media because that's where a lot of people are. We're going to put them out. And so, you know, we encourage you to share those things when they come out and all that stuff. But if you're really addicted to those things, you maybe need to turn that off and we'll share for you. But our church needs to be, we'll be posting a lot. But whatever your normal is, we don't want to go back to the normal. We want to leave the normal for something new. Right? A new walk with the Lord, a new deeper walk, a depth with the Lord, and that we can only do that if we are leaving things behind. And that's what we're doing today, is gonna no going back, no way back today. All right? If you have any questions about the 40 days or anything, please come see me. If you need receive text, please see my mother or that number up there. Okay, God bless you. I'm excited for tomorrow, right? Beginning a new, we're gonna be transformed into a new church, right? God's going to do something great in us. Thank you for your time, and God bless you all. In Jesus' name.